You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It's a great day to praise the Lord, as the psalmist did, who urged all creation to join in praise of the Lord.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Creator of heaven and earth. Praise to you, O Lord, for your great love by which you gave your Son Jesus to die for us, and for your great power by which you raised him from the dead. Praise to you, O Lord. Let all the earth praise you. Let us praise you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ever since 1914, the second Sunday in May has been observed in the United States as Mother's Day. That may sound sentimental to some and detrimental to fathers by others, but neither fathers nor children in the United States regard it as out of place to honor the mothers of the land and to praise the Lord for the gift of motherhood which people all over the earth enjoy. It's a good day for mothers to praise the Lord for the gifts of husband and children, and for the joys they have had in the family circle, despite all the sacrifices and even the heartaches that motherhood can bring. It's a great day to praise the Lord, as the psalmist did, who urged all creation to join in the praise of the Lord. He is great and his plans are wonderful. His ideas are magnificent and his power is stupendous. You can see his hand everywhere. Let everybody and everything praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels, all his heavenly armies. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters above the sky. Let them all praise the Lord. The praise of God begins in heaven above with the angels and the heavenly armies. It extends to the heavenly bodies, the sun and moon, the shining stars, the highest heavens, the waters above the sky. They are all his creation, and they obey his law without fail. He is the Lord of heaven and of earth. Let the earth praise him. He created the earth and all that is therein. He gave the earth his special attention. In a way, I guess you could say, earth is the apple of his eye. It still is, if I read the word of God correctly, even though it has become like the apples of so many eyes, bruised and blemished by the people who live upon it, themselves supposed to be crowns and jewels of his creation. Let the earth, buffeted and beaten by brutal hands, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, strong winds that obey his command. Praise him, hills and mountains, fruit trees and forests, all animals tame and wild, reptiles and birds. Praise the Lord. Angels praise the Lord. They obey his will. Make no mistake about it. Unquestioningly and to the letter, they obey the Lord. Whole armies of them obey the Lord. Sennacherib's army with 185,000 men was laid low by one angel. The armies of the angels, praise the Lord. The powers of earth installed there by God himself, praise the Lord. They obey the Lord. With inflexible precision, they follow the courses he has prescribed. People navigate their way on earth, affixing their gaze on the stars, even when their lives depend upon it. The phases of the moon and their effect on the tides can be predicted to the microsecond. The ebb and flow of the seasons by the response of earth that tilts on its axis toward the sun. The time of sunrise and sunset can be told to the minute and even to the second for every day in the year. The universe, including earth, obeys his will. Let the earth praise the Lord. The forces of nature on earth, uncontrollable as they may seem, obey the Lord. The ocean depths still largely unknown, but more magnificent than previous generations ever believed, covering three-quarters of the earth's surface with all of the sea creatures they contain. Praise the Lord. The seals come to their breeding ground and the pelicans to theirs, year after year, following instincts even now not quite understood, and move to other places, other seas, to find the food they need in order to grow and thrive. They obey the nature given them by God, and thus they praise the Lord. No one has yet figured out a way to make it stop snowing. The best thing people have been able to devise to cope with lightning, hail, and strong winds is to take out insurance against them in the hope of recouping their losses. All of them, says the psalmist, the lightning and hail, snow and clouds, the strong winds, obey his command. Go ahead and praise the Lord, says the psalmist. You hills and mountains, fruit trees and forests, all animals tame and wild, reptiles and birds, go ahead and praise the creator of us all. Praise the Lord. We pick apples because God made apple trees to produce apples. That's what they do. The trees are made of wood, which people saw and use. The mountains are made of rock, which can be quarried. The earth is rich with minerals to be mined. The natural resources of earth can be tamed and harnessed to a certain extent, but not completely. Human power and ingenuity may be awesome, but compared with the energy stored in the universe and the power it can produce, human ingenuity and capability look weak as they attempt to bring that energy and power under control. Nature praises the Lord, while puny people pride themselves on their prowess and boast in their brazen disregard of the living God. Nobody is so great that he can get away with contempt for the Lord who made heaven and earth. Nobody is so little and insignificant that he can escape unnoticed from the searching eye of the all-seeing God. Nobody is so pious that he can flim-flam the holy and just God whom all the powers that be in the physical universe, whether you're talking about heaven or about earth, recognize and obey. People are different. They can disobey. Maybe God would have been better off if he'd made people like all the rest of his creation, without a choice. It would have saved him a lot of trouble and a good deal of grief. If the only difference between people were the species to which they belong, with every person bound to obey the nature of his own species, and every species simply a part of its own genus, humanity would have been a collection of living robots, beautiful machines, with no choice but to praise the Lord. Many people would feel much more comfortable under such an arrangement. They wouldn't have a choice, of course, but then they wouldn't be responsible either for all the bad choices they constantly make. If things went wrong, they could blame God, as they often do right now, even though they know better. They could blame him for everything that happens, instead of just blaming him for the bad things, as they do now, while taking credit themselves for all the good things. Only people, with all that is human, have been given the choice to praise the Lord by doing what he commands. Only people are called upon to praise the Lord with freedom of the nature given to them by God, which permits them to do the very opposite. The angels do what God commands automatically, without question and without option, the sun and moon and the shining stars, the forces of nature and all the natural resources do what he commands. The trees must break forth into leaf and bloom. The animals must bring forth their young. The sun must cross the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. All creation praises God on command. Only people have a choice. People have a choice whether to marry or not to marry. To a certain extent, they have a choice whether to have children or not to have children. They have a choice whether to go to school or not to go to school. They have a choice whether to live in the country or in the city. People can exercise their choice whether to live on this continent or on that continent. They have a choice whether to live on land or sea, or even in the air. They can love or hate, show kindness or brutality, develop their minds or neglect them, drink tea or coffee or just plain water, enjoy the company of other people or live as hermits. People have a lot of choices just because they are human. One thing you cannot choose. No matter how human you are, you cannot choose today to serve God. Not anymore. It is not that simple. With all the inheritance of our humanity, we no longer have the choice, the free choice, to be members of God's family simply by choosing to be his sons and daughters. The Bible makes it very clear that the only free choice any of us has is to go our own way. And the Bible also makes it clear that our own way is not his way. The prophets understood that, and they said so. We have all gone our own way. Like sheep, we have all gone astray. I know that many people will rebel at the very suggestion that they do not have a free choice to be God's children. The fact of the matter is that none of us will ever make that choice on our own. We have lost that. Humanity shows that it has lost it. The Word of God tells us explicitly that we have lost it. You can rebel against this fact of life, but that won't change anything. We have lost the free choice to be members of God's family. The psalmist was very much aware of this fact. It was the psalmist who said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He did not say that the physical act of bearing children is a sin. He did not condemn the sexual relationships, which are very much a part of marriage. But he did tell us that all of humanity is caught up in a mess of its own making. We are born not little innocents, but sinners, destined to add to that misfortune with contributions of our own. Only God can make a saint out of a sinner. Saints, in this case, are those who come to know the saving power of the love of God. It is a fact of history, as much as creation is a fact of history, that God loves people like us, all of us, even though we are sinners. That fact of history has come to focus in one man around whom all of human history revolves. His name is Jesus Christ. One great fact about Jesus Christ is that God loves. In spite of everything, you can see it in the cross of Christ, where he died by the design of his Father for human sin. He put himself in the place of everyone. He took into his own heart the sin of everyone and atoned for all sins of everyone. In Christ, God himself was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting our sins against us. It's a fact of history. Only people have experienced this special love of God. We are not robots, because he did not want us to be robots. We are people, responsible for our own misery. We are the apple of his eye, gone wrong. We are still the apple of his eye, the object of his continuing love. Where we stand, everyone, the grace of God is flowing all around. By his grace, God offers forgiveness to everyone. And by his power, everyone can believe and be saved. "You did not choose me, I chose you," said God to Israel in the Old Testament. "You did not choose me, I chose you," says God to everyone in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. He is God. and he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Don't ask me to explain why some people believe and others do not. I can't explain that. Unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. But he is God, that I know. He loves, that I know. He forgives, that I know. In his forgiveness there is life, that I know. I know it in Jesus Christ, as you can know it too in Jesus Christ. If you belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ today, it may look to you as if it was your choice, but it is not. It is his choice and his grace that you are a member of his family by faith in Jesus Christ. If you are not a member of his family today, you are not ruled out. You can belong in the same way in which everybody else belongs, by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm persuaded that the power of God's Holy Spirit is touching your life today in the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news I'm bringing to you at this very moment. Believe, my friend, and be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let your children believe. Don't withhold from them the good news of life. It's very important to them today as well as tomorrow. You don't want your children to be robots. They're human, as you are. They need to be saved by the grace of God, as you are saved. By faith in Jesus Christ, people get a choice again. They have the choice to go with God and to be real people themselves. They have the choice to obey his commandments and to praise him. It's that choice to which the psalmist calls all of us. Praise him, kings and all peoples, princes and all rulers, young men and girls, old people and children also. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. His name is greater than all others. His glory is above earth and heaven. He made his nation strong so that all his people praise him, the people of Israel, so dear to him. That promise is to you and to your children. It's to you mothers and you fathers. It is to you boys and girls. God has plenty of forces in the universe to obey his will and praise him in the process. What he wants and is energetically looking for is children. People like you and me, of whatever color or class or condition, who will praise him and serve him with a willing obedience of faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. For this he gave up his holy child Jesus in order to make it so. For this he holds out his hand to you in his son Jesus, summoning you to faith, which is not afraid to love him. While all creation does its thing for him, God reaches out to people so dear to him, even to you and to me, longing for this one response from each of us. Praise the Lord. Amen.